Record here. All right, everyone, we are going to call the meeting of the House Committee on Rules to order for Tuesday, April 4th, 2017. I am going to start by opening a public hearing on House Bill 3397.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3397 requires legislative administrator to provide language translation services when member of public requests assistance to enable participation in legislative process or in meeting one-on-one with members of the Legislative Assembly, or as required by Federal Americans with Disabilities Act, individual must submit requests for translation services in writing by a specified date before translator services will be provided.
Excellent. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate having House Bill 3397 on interpreter services in front of you. What I would like to say is that as a Capitol, being the people's house, it's important that people are able to participate in democracy and civil engagement. There is currently no translation service in the building for committee hearings or meetings with legislators, creating a huge barrier for ESL and non-English speaking individuals. Many times these individuals, if they want to come and speak to us, have to provide their own translator, and many times there are folks who don't have the dollars or the ability to do that. If people are going to come to speak to us, we need to help them do that. We need to be more accessible as a capital and create a more welcoming environment. On February 6th, I helped arrange a public hearing with parents from Hillsboro's W.L. Henry Elementary School. And the students that attend that school are predominantly Latino. And the parents that came to speak did not feel comfortable giving testimony in English. To resolve the issue, W.L. Henry was able to borrow headsets from the school district for our committee members. And our office sought out a Spanish interpreter to translate the testimony in real time. While we were happy to help them, we realized that this service that should be provided to make the legislative process accessible, understandable, and provide opportunity for people to have their voice be heard. And thus, we looked at this concept of House Bill 3397. We want to knock down those barriers so that this legislative assembly is seen as being welcoming and a place where everyone can come and be part of the process. Under this bill, an interpreter service request would be filled out, and it would be, and there's an amendment coming, 3 business days, because that goes along with the translator responsibilities that are listed in this particular similar type of situation where they need translators when we have our deaf citizens come and talk to us. During the interim, that would increase to a week's advance notice. There are amendments that are coming that have been given some suggestions that we put in to make a connection to the federal laws that are required. And so those amendments are being written today, and I've been promised they'll be done by 5, and I'll make sure that they get down here. This bill ensures that all individuals are able to participate in their state government. They need support, and this bill will offer that. I want to thank you for your consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Chair Williamson, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Diego Hernandez, State Representative for House District 47 East Portland. Voy a hablarles en español todo este tiempo para que de verdad vean. No, I'm just kidding.
Está bien. Puedo comprender todo.
I was going to do my testimony in Spanish so you can get a glimpse of what it feels like to not understand the prominent or mainstream language. Like Representative McLean mentioned, we did have testimony from folks from elementary school who predominantly spoke Spanish, and they testified in Spanish, and we as committee members had headsets. And for that moment in time, we felt like we were making the House of Representatives really accessible to the public at that moment. So House Bill 3397 would require the Legislative Assembly to provide translator services free of charge to facilitate witness participation in hearings or informal meetings with one or more members of the Legislative Assembly, or as required by Federal Americans with Disability Act. Growing up in East Portland in a diverse a neighborhood, a district that has a David Douglas School District, which has 140 different languages. It is important that underrepresented groups have access to our democratic process. So you can imagine how these school districts try to meet the needs of the students by providing translation services and interpreter services. So translation is important because not everyone speaks English or is able-bodied to do so. So emerging policies in communities and government means emerging languages. Government is democratic, and we can provide equal access to all of our constituents and individuals regardless of language or disability. Democracy is about communicating with people and especially, you know, having a government that is accessible is the best way we can hear from constituents. A lot of the times we give testimony or we give speeches or remonstrances and we talk about folks that have contacted us from our communities. But a lot of the times we don't get to hear from those folks who find these barriers, whether it's language or ability, to really have access to our democratic, our democracy. So colleagues, this is vital that all individuals of our community can share their testimony and their voice. So I urge your support for House Bill 3397. Thank you.
Questions? Fredo.
You know, a couple years ago, Julie Parrish was introducing a bill on coding in Education Committee, and we were talking about that and how now, you know, when I text, I hardly use my thumbs. I just speak into it and push a button, and it goes. And it seems to me like, and I asked at the time, do we have that in different languages? So you speak in English, it comes out in German or something like that. And someone said, yeah, that's already available. And so I'm wondering technology-wise, if there wouldn't be something in regard to this, to where you speak into the microphone, and there's just a screen there that you know, prints it across, and if that technology is available today.
I can, what I would tell you is that when we were asking, you know, how much this might cost, or what we would have to do to retrofit our rooms, because for example, they can only do one recording at a time, and that's why we wanted to do it in real time, and that's why we use the microphones. And so even the microphones is a half a step to where you want to be. And what you're talking about, you know, really talks about the screen element so somebody could read it. You might have to do, it might have to go from English to Spanish to Russian to whatever, and we certainly could look into that, but we asked when we were talking to the administrative services to look at all technology because that there might be some that was more up and coming and on, you know, the edge that was less expensive because it had been used in a different way. So we asked and posed something that was a similar question to that, Representative Barreto, but I can't tell you that we have the analysis back on what that is. We did also ask how many times this has been used, how many times during a session, or how many times during an interim do you run up to this to try and, again, figure out what would be the actual cost. And, again, there were more, I guess I would say, specific information about being able to make sure we had translators versus interpreters. And we don't know specifically because a lot of times people believe interpreters are not available, so they haven't requested them or they haven't even suggested to themselves that it's a possibility to be able to come and participate. So we don't have all that data, but it's certainly something that we felt that if we give the goal of having an open capital with interpretation available, that then you put together someone who's going to look at what's a reasonable cost and what can we afford.
And I can just to add to that, last week in Judiciary, we had some witnesses in a sexual assault bill where English was not their first language, and they had to tell pretty traumatic experiences that they had gone through. And so they brought their own translator and brought their own headphones and translation devices. So I would be interested, too, as to whether or not we know people are making requests. They just knew that it was going to be hard for them to both try to speak in a second language and tell some pretty horrific stories. So they came set up to be able to speak in their first language.
So my guess is they didn't make a request of the committee. They brought their own folks. So so I don't know that our data is complete, because I think people are kind of cobbling it together as the situation comes up. So I don't know that we know.
I will say that the schools have been dealing with this as they try to make sure that they can talk to all parents and make connections with all families. And they also do it during graduation time, so that graduation, you know, at graduation, parents can hear what's and understand what's going on. And so I think we're not new. We're not the first ones to realize that we have some responsibility. And there are other systems out there that we could certainly turn to find out what would be the most cost-effective but efficient and effective.
I just noticed that there was some testimony from Stephen Brown. They were, like, proposing some amendments and things like that.
I have a copy of those amendments right here. And so Dexter is working on them feverishly. And he has indicated that we need to just mention the actual act, the federal act. We don't need to write in everything, because this is the federal responsibilities that I was talking about. But he is working on that right now to concisely connect this to those federal responsibilities that we already have.
Okay, so you guys are working on that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that was my question.
Well, and just for the committee, we're waiting on those amendments. We're also waiting on a fiscal, which then will require subsequent referrals. So by no means are we ready to move anything, or do we have a complete picture of the requirements under this bill. So we're not ready by any means to work this today. So.
We're trying to be thorough and get a real fiscal.
Representative Kenemer.
Yeah, just, you know, I think we do need to discuss the parameters a bit. I spoke to some people from Portland Public. I think they've identified 69 different languages. At some point, it's unmanageable unless we can do it with some kind of technology.
Representative Holdy.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I was curious about what our federal responsibilities are under the American Disabilities Act. If those are spelled out, or do we have a materials in OLIS that we could look at?
If we don't, we can get them.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful.
I don't have a list of all of them. I will tell you that we have a list of 10 of them that specifically are talking about translation services, what they need to be, and we have some specifics. There's another bill on the Senate side that's talking about captions. That's another issue that's out there. But there are some very distinct, and we certainly can get that to the committee members if you'd like us to.
I think it would be, thank you, Madam Chair, follow up. I think it would be helpful for me. I got to admit that I never thought about this before as it being perhaps a responsibility of the public bodies to provide this kind of service. I just assumed people, when they came, they brought their own translators, and many of the committees I've been on, and never really thought that we should be, you know, trying to help with that. So I really am curious about what our federal responsibilities are.
And I think we can get you that information. But, you know, to make the point, folks have been bringing their own supplies. But I think what that has done is restricted folks from actually feeling like if they've ever wanted to participate, there's these barriers that exist. And therefore, we've probably restricted access to having testimonies from folks who are impacted by issues and which we're making decisions on.
Senator Smith Warren.
And just one last follow-up, and I don't know if there's any connection with the American Disabilities Act and providing those translator services for just non-English-speaking people, whether we have, you know, responsibilities in that arena, too.
Well, we'll get from Dexter or the sponsors that are requirements under the ADA, so we can have that in the record.
Great.
Representative Smith Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you both. I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you for bringing this up. We talk a lot about what an open process and an open system we have. I think in Oregon we pride ourselves, and anybody who has a good idea can reach out to their legislator, come up with a bill idea. And this is, it's one of those things that as soon as you mentioned it to me, I thought, oh, right, of course. It's really important to bring down as many barriers as we can so that we really can be inclusive in every sense of the way to really give everyone a full and fair opportunity to participate in the system. And I just wanted to thank you both for bringing this forward.
Great, thank you. Right. Chad Ludwig and Rebecca Gladstone. And I just want to start, before we start, thanking Chad for his involvement in working on ADA issues across state government. He and I have worked about issues around the Department of Corrections and our deaf and hard of hearing inmates and their families, and among a slew of other access issues. And so I don't get to see him often in front of me in a committee. I don't know that I ever have, actually. So I want to publicly thank him for the work that he does on these issues with our state government.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Do I start?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I noticed that there were some questions asked earlier, and I wanted to address them. I will do later, but first I'm going to start with my testimony. I'm Chad Ludwig, and I'm the president of OAD, Oregon Association of the Deaf. And thank you, Madam Chair Williamson, and the other representatives of this committee. I noticed that Stephen Brown has been working on this Bill 3397, and he worked Oregon Registry of the Interpreters for the Deaf, trying to propose an amendment for this. For example, there's some clear distinctions between translator and interpreter. Translator is more related with document translations, and interpreting is more related to taking a spoken language and translating it into another language. And then as a member of this government, the state government, you have a legal responsibility to provide access accommodations. And that falls under the Americans with Disability Act, Section 2. And Section 601 of Title 6 of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And that clearly explains that individuals who use language that is national origin, who are not able to use the language because of limitations or proficiency, and that prevents them, and they have barriers, it's the government's responsibility to provide them accommodations and access. They should not be burdened with finding accommodations and providing those to bring them here. It should be the state's responsibility. And there are several resolutions to this. And there are interpreters here in Oregon, different agencies. There are interpreter agencies who do like spoken, like sign, or specifically sign language. You can also look to video interpreting, video remote interpreting, video VRI for short. You could look to contracting with, there's over 150 different languages so that you can contract. And community members, there are different ones throughout the state that that are contracted for speaking and interpreting different languages. So I'm here to answer any questions that you may have. And thank you again for letting me be here.
Questions?
Great. I tried to be. Thank you.
Becca.
Thank you. For the record, Rebecca Gladstone, League of Women Voters of Oregon. Frankly, I came prepared to speak to another bill today, but I was asked to if my comments might apply here. And given that we've had some questions for which I have been doing research, I would appreciate being able to speak to this. We do have positions. The League supports citizen participation and access for an open governmental system that is representative, accountable, and responsive. this session, we're all concerned with our budget shortfall. I would like to speak to some of the specific technical issues of this. When you talk about translating or making the information accessible, you can be talking about transcribers who can take, for instance, a recording of our hearings, and the time pressure is a little bit off. They're pretty good. It's probably adequate. And then you can go to court recorders. They're pretty accurate, and you can edit later if needed for the record. Closed captioners, which we were talking about for Senate Bill 829 yesterday, are extremely accurate, and they're good for live stream. The FCC requirements are evolving. One of the things that's new that we haven't seen much, because I don't watch these proceedings very much, is that when you have two people speaking, you need to have a closed caption box underneath each of them, and that calls for a separate person addressing the live stream. This is a very high technical ability of translation. When we had the hearing yesterday, we had signers, and we had someone doing the really good, pretty good closed captioning. I frankly was distracted watching for how accurate it was, and this is public record. It becomes official public record, and sometimes there are some serious errors that are made, and those would have to be corrected. And there are three factors that are balanced when you look at this. One is, how quickly do you need to post the results? How accurate does it have to be? And how expensive is it? One of the conditions of this bill that we're discussing right now is that the request for access would have to be made a week in advance. It's hard to get translators for the number of languages we're discussing. If you remember that I was here a few weeks ago talking about the minority languages voting materials work, there were 11 major ones. And it would be great if we could address maybe not all of them. Don't go for perfect. Don't go for absolutely everything before you can do anything. So let's see what we can address. Another thing I'd like to consider is that this bill talks about legislative meetings, but something that needs to be considered is, are they only meetings? Is it informal hearings? What about communications that go out from legislative leaders to their constituents? What about PSAs? What about trainings that come from DAS? There are a number of different categories that technically could be pertinent for this consideration. I'd love to entertain any questions.
So, are there any questions? Please.
Vice Chair, may I have one, may I make a point, Rayfield?
Please.
Okay. I would like to go on record and say that I really, really strongly encourage every legislator to document the language on their flyers and on their email and their announcement at their town halls. Have languages on the bottom. And by saying, if you need language access or reasonable accommodations, please contact us, email us at this address, or contact us at this phone number. Because without that, the barriers are going to continue.
Thank you very much. All right, seeing no questions, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing on House Bill 3397. We'll open up a public hearing on HCR 24. Representative Hack.
And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, HCR 24 requires all committees and subcommittees of Oregon Legislature to accept remote testimony given by remote video conferencing link. It does suspend this rule until legislative administrator reports that adequate technology and infrastructure are in place to allow witnesses to go to remote locations and testify via video conference.
Please.
Hello. Vice Chair Rayfield, Vice Chair McLean. For the record, my name is Jody Hack, and I represent House District 19. And I have the pleasure of bringing to you House Concurrent Resolution 24, which allows for the use of video testimony in our hearings on both the House and Senate side. Representative Holvey's going to love this. I brought this to you out of concern that we have folks that oftentimes would like to come and testify, but have the barrier, one, of either living across the state and can't leave to travel long distances to be able to come and testify, or oftentimes are at their place of employment, could be in school, various different things that end up happening, college students and various other things, that would love to be able to come and testify but can't because of the constraints around the timelines and how our system works. So I've offered up a solution to be able to allow for a time to be set in order for them to be able to testify by video, which could be done kind of like what you're seeing over there, and have an allotted amount of time where they could sign up online through the administrator. So you could open up the testimony online so they had a certain amount of time where they could sign up, and then you could close the amount of time so that it didn't cause issues within the administration for the committees. You'd be able to do that, obviously, by rulemaking and make sure that it's conducive to making sure that the committees still function properly. So that's the purpose behind it, is to open up the ability for more people to be heard and to give folks across our state, folks that have a difficult time getting here, oftentimes are elderly, have a hard time parking, have a hard time walking and getting in here, or folks with disabilities have a difficult time getting here. Oftentimes people come and they sit for hours, where this would be a way that they know from this, between this hour and this hour, I have the opportunity to testify by video. And then they could pop on their computer and have the opportunity to be heard. We do this by phone, and this would just be another way for us to enter the 21st century and provide these services. So one of the things that I think also is worth considering is the fact that during our roadshow, Ways and Means Roadshow, we have done this. So it isn't as though this is new. It would just be an expansion of what we're already doing and allow this to happen in our committees.
Good questions. Please, Representative Smith Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Thank you, Representative. I just wanted to add back to, I've both been in a committee a couple times where we've taken testimony by phone, and also the last two hearings of the Ways and Means Roadshow technically were both held up in Hearing Room F. And we had a video link to Coos Bay and to Ontario and heard from about 15 or 20 folks in each of those communities. And it went smoothly.
Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Representative Hack. I know we've had this discussion before, and I think it's a good idea. I do think about logistics sometimes, and you know, like in our road show, there was a specific place where people came, so there was, you know, some order to, you know, who was coming in, getting signed up, and just being organized, as opposed to Skyping from everybody's living room around the state, which I think, you know, I'm not saying I'm opposed to even that, but I just wonder how the logistics of, you know, making sure you've got, you know, identifying who's testifying next and setting up the public for, I guess, disappointment, because we would have so many people to cover that, you know, people will be going, you know, I went to this Skype meeting and I wasn't able to testify. I just worry about sort of the backlash of not having the time in our committee hearings, for instance, to go to all the Skype locations around the state, even maybe some of them. And you know, then we're left with, okay, do we decide that we're going to hear from people that have actually are in the room first, or we'll go to the Skype in Burns or the Skype in Coos Bay, or this, you know, how do we decide who gets that remote access during a short hearing that, as you know, sometimes we don't get through all the testimony. So it just, I just worry about the perception from the public that wants to participate, yet because of our time constraints, we're not able to accommodate all the people that are trying to get on.
Vice Chair Rayfield and Representative Holvey, in an attempt to address that, I did reach out to our community colleges, several of them across the state, and they are more than willing to help assist in providing locations, especially on the far outskirts, so the east side, central, southern. They would be more than happy to work with us to provide a location. On the issue as it relates to turning folks away, I think that's something we deal with in committees regardless. Folks show up, and I know we've had folks drive as far as Ontario and were turned away. I think that's just a product of what we do, nature of the beast, so to speak. We don't always get to everybody. And I think as long as we disclose that to folks and do our best to try to get to them, just like we do in any other committee setting, I think that this is just another tool that we can offer folks across our state to be able to have a voice. If we can do that, I think we ought to be doing it, because we all know that there are parts of our state that feel that they are absolutely isolated from the process in this building. And this would be a way for us to be able to say to them, we do care about what you have to say. And if it means that we allot a certain amount of time and a certain amount of slots open for them to be able to have an opportunity to speak, I'd certainly rather see us do 5 than 0. And I think it lends itself to opportunities for folks to testify that couldn't. So while it may not be perfect, I think it's better than what we have now in that they don't have an opportunity at all. So.
Please.
Follow up. I appreciate that, because you know that was one of my concerns. And for the record, when we had busloads of people from Ontario speaking on minimum wage, I believe, in my committee, I got through all of the people from Ontario, but other parts of the state did not get to testify, because I was sort of going by this policy. If you live more than 100 miles away, we're going to let you go first to make sure we get your testimony. And I got at the end of that hearing, and I realized that the only people we heard from were more than 100 miles away. So, I mean, there's always that sort of balance that we have to try to bring into this system, and I think that, you know, this could work as long as people know that we only have a limited amount from each area, depending on how many areas you have. It could be just one, you know, depending on how many areas you have in a two-hour meeting.
Vice Chair Rayfield and Representative Holvey, I think that's where the parameters would just have to be set. And when you open up the time period in order to be able to sign up, this is the time period that you can sign up. These are the openings that you have. And if you'd like to be able to testify remotely, these are the options you have. Otherwise, feel free to make the drive, and we'll fit you in like we would anybody else. But just to give them the option to be able to do that, I think would be great for a lot of people. And I appreciate that you let the folks from Ontario go first. So I stand. I was not referring to your committee, but I just know that there are times that we do turn folks away, and it comes from everywhere. So, just another opportunity for people to be able.
Well, I just appreciate that. You know, we moved off the idea of having everybody in their living room coming on in Skype, because I just don't know how we would be able to handle that. But maybe some new age. Gig economy type of person can figure that out for us in the future, but there's only so many minutes in an hour. So thank you.
I just want to appreciate both of you appreciating each other.
and I appreciate your kindness, Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. The one thing I would say just for the committee's kind of knowledge, Representative Holvey, myself, and Representative Hack all worked on in the House rules process on the specific issue and looking at how could we implement it, because I think there was a general feeling amongst everyone that we do want to increase access to folks in the remote parts of Oregon. Some of the difficulties I would that we talked about, Representative Holvey, I think did a very good job of kind of explaining, where if you had a Skype situation where you're logging one person in and then they log out, and then you wait while you're you know, a minute and a half where you log in the other one and you're kind of inefficiently using committee time. And there are ways, I think, that we could get around that, like the community colleges. The other thing that we talked about in the committee was doing a pilot program and putting this into house rules, as opposed to where this is a very we shall implement this without any pilot, without any rules, without any kind of guidelines within it. I think that's just kind of, these are some of the things that we were discussing online and we're actually very interested in working on once we got out of this session too. So that just, there are multiple conversations going on the topic, just to keep people in the loop. So, all right, any other questions for Representative Hack? All right, seeing none, thank you very much. We'll call
Peter bringing it forward.
Yeah. Vice Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, I feel very appreciated today. So I am just darn glad to be here and just feel appreciated. So.
We do our best. We'll call up Rebecca Gladstone.
I think we have somebody from IT here, too, that's going to speak. Is that right?
Okay. And
you're going to appreciate them, too.
I would appreciate the people from IT coming up. If you're interested in testifying, that'd be fantastic.
Well, they're just picking on us.
I know.
Oh, it's just that no one appreciates Representative McLean, so I was just a little sad about that.
Please begin when you're ready.
Okay. And how's the volume?
Oh, say again.
Say again. There's the
answer. I
can't
hear you.
How's this volume?
That works.
It's good. Okay. For the record, Rebecca Gladstone, League of Women Voters of Oregon. We're speaking in support of this bill. As I said a few minutes ago, the League supports citizen participation and access for an open governmental system that is representative, accountable, and responsive. We believe that requiring acceptance of remote testimony for video conferencing will be an asset. Once technology and infrastructure are in place, as this bill conservatively stipulates, this session we're all concerned with budget shortfall. We appreciate recognition that technology is improving rapidly, and we should acknowledge and use it, especially when there may not be any financial burden to incorporate widely accessible networking platforms. And I'd like to add, since I submitted this testimony, I've learned that we've been doing this to some extent with video conferencing for 6 years here. And there are technical issues, exactly as you say. The bill is conservatively written so that I think we can come forward with them. Thank you for the opportunity to discuss this legislation. I look forward to any questions. Thank you.
Please, when you're ready.
Vice Chair Rayfield, Vice Chair McLean, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Brett Haynes, Chief Information Officer, Legislative Administration. I don't have any prepared remarks. We got a call this morning that maybe we should show up and maybe take a couple questions about remote testimony. I'm happy to talk about some of the technology offerings. We really don't have scope or cost yet, but we are doing some research. But I'm happy to kick around some ideas.
Representative Holby.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I appreciate being called on. And I'm sort of curious, you know, of how, when we're doing this, like on the Ways and Means process, does the legislature take its equipment to those remote locations, or is that being supplied by others?
Vice Chair Rayfield, Vice Chair McLean, Representative Holby, members of the committee, I think that's still to be determined. What we've done this session in particular with the Ways and Means remote testimony, we use the equipment at the site, and that's why using facilities that have audiovisual departments and staff on hand at that location is better than shipping equipment. Now, with some of the road shows, we brought our own. So there are lots of different ways to do that. I hope that answers your question.
And just a quick follow-up on that. If you had, say, in a using like a via remote video conferencing link, and let's say you had 10 people from across the state that wanted to testify where we're not actively going out to them, how would you manage that, and what type of time, you know, Is there a program that can instantly scoot over? Like in the Ways and Means testimony, we set up a camera, people came and went, just like any other normal hearing. I'm kind of curious if we're using like the video conferencing link as suggested in the bill. What does that look like? How does that work?
Vice Chair Rayfield, members of the committee. Again, I think there's a lot of different options. You can have moderated video conferencing where you would have someone pulling people up when it's their turn and then pushing them back and putting them on mute. Or you can have just an open video conference, which is you would manage yourselves, and that would be, of course, a little bit more difficult to do, but it's lower in cost. So there's, you can run the gamut of high-end just audio to high-end video, something like Cisco Telepresence. That's kind of the premier offering. So again, without doing a whole lot more research on this, but I can tell you that there's a lot of things available. You can have moderated video chats.
Representative Hack.
Thank you, Co-Chair Rayfield. One of the conversations that when we'd had some conversations with the community colleges, and we'd have to go back and get this all taken care of, but they had equipment. Mm-hmm. And do you have any angst in utilizing their equipment to just connect to ours if they've already got all that?
Vice Chair Rayfield, Vice Chair McLean, Representative Hack, no problem at all. What we would have to do is if we would establish certain sites or community colleges for remote testimony, we'd make sure that the technology they have and what we choose does have compatibility, of course, but that's typically not a problem.
All right, any other questions? Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I do these video conferencing every other week, and the counties have the same type of setup, it seems like, and they can go between, like it goes between Union County, Wallowa County, intermittent, depending on who's speaking. And so it's not just the community colleges, but I think a lot of the counties or extension agents are set up that way also.
Representative Holby.
Just, I suppose, a technical, maybe it's not a technical question, I think it is. The term video conferencing, is that broad enough? Is it, or could it be limiting to new technology that comes on? I'm just wondering whether we should say video conferencing or a similar communications platform or something. I'm just asking if video conferencing is specifically defined, or would it accommodate just about anything we want to do?
Vice Chair Rayfield, Representative Holvey, I think video conferencing is encompassing enough, but if you wanted to also entertain high-end just audio, then maybe you'd want to put that verbiage in there.
Any other questions? Representative Smith-Warner, are you sure?
Okay.
All right, with that, thank you both very much. And we'll go ahead and close the public hearing on HCR 24, and we'll be carrying over House Bill 2874. Tyler, is there anything else for the committee?
Members of the committee, no, that completes our work for the day.
I appreciate being out here early.
With that, we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting.
Okay, I'm going to go back and watch them.
Go ahead and adjourn the meeting.